Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
Well, the Regina Rams have a storied past, and I'll tell you what, this one guy I'm going to talk to next is right at the top in terms of the storied figures in the past of this team. Gord Curry would be right there, and then I'd put this guy, it'd be 1A and 1B. Frank McChrystal joining us right now on Growing the Game with Ballsy. And Frank, I'm talking to you because this week the Rams had a homecoming week, so to speak, celebrating 20 years of Regina Rams football. Take me back to 1999. I guess take me back before 1999. Like, how long was this process to, you know, from when you decided that was it for junior football to actually get into the university ranks?
Well, you know, we talked about it. It had come up a lot because we had so many guys that were actually going to university at that time, and it had come up before, but it was just university wasn't interested because of the expense that it might be or what it might cost them. And you know, even back in the early 90s, we had talked about it. And I mean, we even go back to 1985 when we played the U of A in an exhibition game. You know, when we were a junior team and beat them, 22-18. So there had been a lot of talk about it, but then we kind of become, we had ended up being so dominant through the mid-90s, you know, winning 4 out of 5 Canadian championships when, you know, and beating some really good teams, you know, Hurricanes and Sooners and from the East and certainly the Kelowna Sun. So, you know, it was time for a new challenge, and there was more and more of our players that were going to university. So we thought it might be some guys thought it might be a really good fit. Guys like Paul Barnby, for example, thought it would be a good fit. And certainly there was a lot of discussion about why we would do it from, you know, our directors and coaches. So there was some discussion, but it certainly went back a lot of years.
Were you on board right away yourself, Frank McChrystal?
No, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't. And it's interesting when we started this tonight, you asked about, you know, talked about Gord Curry. I went to talk to Gord Curry, and I said, what do you think? And now Gord is Gord was always so good about understanding things differently and more readily than other people. And he says, well, you know what, Frank? I mean, it's there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time when you may need to change and things change. And he said there may even be a time if you go into university where you're no longer the Rams and you become the Cougars. So he thought that it was something that was a natural progression that we should do. And so I went away from that still not completely 100% onside because we were doing good things. I mean, you know, it's to go to university, you had to have guys that played football that were going to go to university. Whereas before we had guys that went to SIAS, you know, and wanted to be carpenters and wanted to be, you know, truck drivers or those types of things. And so we kind of eliminated some of those players when we did go to university. And you know, it's something we have to certainly think about and talk and have a discussion about.
Frank McChrystal, former great coach of the Regina Rams, University of Regina Rams, too, joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. So what was the big challenge initially getting started? You know, was it the school aspect? Was it the politics of the university?
No, that probably the politics probably came later. but certainly, I think the biggest challenge, to be honest with you, Mike, was the age. You know, again, when you go back and look at these things, I mean, in the early 90s, we initiated a training program back then.
Right.
There was a guy named Doug Zimmerman that was a defensive coordinator, and we hired Mike Zimmerman, his brother, to help you guys. You were playing at that time.
Yep.
We'd go to the field house. And Doug had put together just a nice two-sheet thing to follow for you guys, program to follow. And back in, I think it was 1988, we built an extension to the clubhouse and put a weight room on, you know, and some other meeting rooms as well. So, we were kind of prepared that way. In 1988, we started scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
That we gave not only to guys that went to university, but guys that went to SIAS or apprenticeship programs and so forth. So we were prepared for all of those things in terms of training, in terms of support for our students and so forth, but our student athletes. But, you know, when we went in there, I remember playing the Calgary Dinos, and a guy comes out and I go, oh, geez, what's that guy coaching? They go, no, he plays. I go, what do you mean he plays? Well, yeah, he was 32 years old. And then I can't even remember his name. And they say, don't you remember him when he played for the
yep.
Colts back in 89? I go, actually, I don't, you know. But we ended up playing guys like Brent Dancy that was playing for the U of S, that played for 4 years for us.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Frankowski, Craig Brer, that played for 5 years for us, and we're playing for UBC, and you know, the list goes on. So we were playing, you know, as Neil Hughes and Jason Claremont were 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and we were playing guys that were 26 to actually 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
and that went on till probably about maybe about 2010 or something like that before
yeah.
they kind of got a bit of a handle on the age of some of the players. I mean, there's the Vanier Cup champion, and I think in 2007, the average age of that team was greater than the average age of, I think it was the Indianapolis Colts when the won the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that was really kind of a challenge, you know, where you had 18-year-olds playing against 28-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you go home and brag about that to your wife? Like, hey, I burned that guy deep. He was 18. I'm 28. And when you're sitting around the table with your wife and your kids, like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And we saw guys with tattoos with names on their arms and going, like, oh, who's that? Oh, those are my kids. Is that right?
Frank McChrystal joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Hey, so did you have to fight to keep the Rams name and not call yourself the Cougars? Was that an issue?
Not really. We dealt when we went into the university with some really, really good people. Ralph Nelson was the dean of kinesiology at that time. A terrific guy and really badly pursued and wanted us to be a part of the university. David Barnard was the president of the university at that time, and now is actually president of the University of Manitoba. Terrific guy. And he wasn't quite sure whether a football team coming to the university was going to be important or not, but Ralph worked with him, and we sat down and we talked to him, and he became a real supporter and a great fan and a great friend of our football program and the people that were involved with the team as coaches and directors. So we didn't really have to battle too much about keeping the name. Sometimes people from outside would ask about it or, were a little critical about it. And even within the university, some of the other people on teams maybe or other people in the university thought that we should be Cougars, but once you talk to them about it and the fact that we were still funded, something like 85 to 90% of our funding came from outside of the university. The university provided us with a few things, but the lion's share came from our own fundraising.
I feel like they've taken some things away from the Rams in recent years, almost to the point where it's almost like, here, might as well just call ourselves the Cougars. That's kind of what I feel lately. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, you know, when we started this conversation, Gord Curry said, you know what, that's probably going to be a progression and something that will eventually happen. But I mean, you know, I I don't know if we're not what we were and we're something different, then yeah, maybe you should go with what's different.
Was that always hard though? Was it hard to bridge the two? You know, there was the Rams of junior and the Rams of university, and I always felt like the Rams of junior didn't really feel like they were alumni of the Rams program anymore, if that makes sense.
It was a challenge. There's no question about that, Mike. And I didn't know that as much because I'd been involved, so heavily involved on both, you know, with both. And I didn't know that until guys, like you said just now,
yeah,
brought it up, or other guys. There was a guy that, a famous Ram, Brian Dimon, who was just an outstanding player, you know, in the 70s, great athlete here in the city. You know, when we got the new facility out on campus, we had an alumni dinner in the dressing room. And he says, you know what, this is the first time that I felt like I've been a part of or welcomed back to the Regina Rams. And that was a good feeling. And then there was a part of me that's saying, oh, geez, what did we miss?
Yeah.
We lost that connection. Although, you know, I mean, those guys are pretty darn supportive, and we're pretty much a part of it as time wore on.
What do you remember about that first game against the Bisons? I remember a crowd of like 8,000 to 10,000. You lost the game, but I remember watching the Bisons. Man, they're big and they're physical, but the crowd was there. It was electric for sure.
It was a great evening. It was a great night, and we kind of put it together as a package because Winnipeg was here for the Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
And yeah, we had over 8,000 people at the game, and we lost the game 33-18, but man, we did some really, really good stuff. But I remember standing in the tunnel when they came out, and I'm going, oh my God, like they're old and big. And they had Craig Carr, I think, was one of their running backs.
Yeah.
They were big, strong, tough, miserable guys. And a lot of them with a terrible chip on their shoulder because we had often spanked them in the junior year, you know?
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of guys on that team from the Okanagan Sun and from other junior teams in BC, Surrey, for example, that we'd given a pretty sound licking to a few years before that. And, yeah, they were fairly miserable and like I said, had a chip on their shoulder. But, you know, we came back, and Jason Claremont was absolutely outstanding in the game. And the first touchdown scored by a Regina Ram was little Chris Ashman. He ran back a kickoff for a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I remember that.
It was exciting, and it was challenging, and it was a really great thing, I think, for football and for amateur football in the country.
Couple more quick questions with you, Frank. Frank McChrystal joining us in Growing the Game with Ballsy. Now, I wanted to ask you this. In junior, you didn't have to worry about what guys were taking in class or how their marks were, but you certainly had to do that in university. Did you find that you kind of had a shelf being a coach, per se, an X's and O's guy, and become more a facilitator on that side and worry about travel and worry about grades and worry about all that type of stuff?
The grades were the extra thing that you worried about and had to be on top of. But you know, we had an academic advisor that came to us and wanted to be a part of it, Don Clark.
Right.
And Dr. Don Clark said, "Hey, I'll be your academic advisor and help you guys out with this to kind of learn the ropes here about what goes on." His son Doug Clark had played for us,
mm-hmm.
And it was, I said, "Hey, great!" And he stuck with. He was involved with right from 1999 up until I finished, you know, 2014, the last year. He took me around and introduced me to department heads, deans, all of those types of people. Obviously, we knew the athletic director, but he introduced me to people in the athletic office and so on. And it made a real difference. And, you know, I also got very involved with Campion, as well as Luther, and then First Nations University. Mm-hmm. And so we went and made sure that we contacted new people and shared some thoughts and ideas and asked the questions. We had some great people involved in registration, Susan Hooson that helped us, and it was good. But, you know, Mike, if you're going to be the head coach, you got to be the head coach, man. Like you can't pick your spots and say, well, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do game day, or I'm going to I'm going to look after the defense, or I want to coach the DBs. You do everything, and you stay on top of everything, and ultimately you're accountable and responsible for what goes on there.
Yeah, very interesting. And lastly, Frank, I'll ask you what you're most proud of in your time with the Rams. One thing I wanted to say is, you know, it's interesting. As soon as the Rams came on the scene in the university ranks, the U of S Huskies didn't have the pizzazz or the success that they once had once they were split in the province with talent. That's how I see it anyway.
Well, you know, a thing that really, I'll speak for them. I don't know. Maybe they'll listen to the podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
But up there, but you know, a guy that made a huge difference for him was Terry Eisler. Yeah. And Terry Eisler came from the early 80s Regina Rams and went up there. He played 5 years with the Rams, and then he played 5 years with them. And there was a number of Hilltops that ended up moving from the junior program to the Huskies too. And, you know, with the Hilltops and the Rams and the rivalry and the great competition that we had provided for each other, that really established a pretty sound feeder system to university for that group up there, the U of S. Mm-hmm. I think it certainly made a difference when we left junior. But you know, it wasn't just them, Mike. I mean, you know, we read today how Football Canada is now pursuing the whole notion of concussions and watching those things. Well, in 1999. When we went into university, we hooked up with a guy named Dr. Dennis Alfano, who is a clinical psychologist at the university at Luther. And he did baselines on our players in 1999. So we had been doing concussion studies from 1999 up to the year 2014, working with one of the very established and one of the guys, the renowned guys for concussion study in the country, and Dennis Alfano. So, I mean, we were ahead there. We were already established training. There were really no scholarships per se in university football until we got there and started providing scholarships, and it kind of spurred and pushed other teams to do it. In fact, the Ontario University presidents. Presidents of their schools got together and had to discuss the whole idea of athletic scholarships as a result of our coming in. And we know that because of our discussions with David Barnard and so forth. So, I mean, we also spurred a whole sense of crossing the country to recruit. You didn't really, I mean, you know, some guys would come over, Manitoba would come over, and spend a couple days or a day here in Regina. Or, you know, you might have Simon Fraser, which wasn't in the university league at that time. They would come and search out some of the players across the country, but nothing like what happened when, you know, in the year 2000, when we said, hey, I'll tell you what, we're not going to get pounded again in 2000 like we did in 1999 right. with a bunch of young guys. We're going to go get some guys. Yeah. So, you know, we not only pushed, I think, the our provincial rival, I think that we pushed the whole league and made a difference that way.
That's the great Frank McChrystal, one of the great builders in the Regina Rams histories. We're celebrating 20 years of Rams football this year in the university ranks. Thanks for this, Frank.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Growing the game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy.
And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca.
Well, we're staying with the University of Regina Rams theme today, and the Rams got some bad news, more bad news. They've had a lot of it recently. They found out their star tailback Kyle Bors has been suspended 16 months for taking a supplement over the counter that had a banned substance in it. He wasn't trying to cheat, but nevertheless, he's not going to be playing this year or running track for the U of R Cougars. I talked to Kyle Bors about that recently. Kyle, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Good, man. Now, wish I was speaking to you in better terms. Before we get to that, I want to rattle off some of Kyle's stats. He really came into his own this year. Rushed 96 times for 693 yards, 6 touchdowns, 16 catches for 227 yards and 1 touchdown. He's also a track athlete with the U of R Cougars track team. He can absolutely flat out fly. Kyle, first of all, in terms of how your season went on the field, how do you feel your season went?
Personally, I thought my season was pretty good. You know, I played that backup role for a year straight, and then when it was my turn, I was ready and I made the most of it.
Yeah, you know, one of the I don't want to say knocks on you, Kyle, but one of the things that was maybe, I guess, a knock on you was ball security at times, or maybe one bad play turned into three bad plays. What I noticed about your game this year was, I remember there was one game where you fumbled the ball, and on the next drive, you came back, and I think you actually scored a touchdown, and you took it and you ran with it. Like you didn't have those lapses where one bad play turned into three bad plays. Are you kind of finding the mental side of your game better now?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that comes with maturity as well. You know, once you get older and you play the game more, you kind of know how to put that stuff behind you. So, yeah, I mean, I think that just comes with maturity.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how much did Atlee Simon help you out?
Big time. Atlee was a huge role model for me. He's a great player. I wish him the very best with the Stampeders. But yeah, he definitely taught me lots of things about being a running back at this level, and I thank him a lot for that.
Kyle, what got you into football besides your dad, Corey, who obviously was a teammate of mine with the Rams, but what got you into football? What did you like about football?
Gosh, I don't even know. Like, I was so young when I was into the game of football. I loved it forever. You know, I grew up watching it every Sunday, me and my dad, every Sunday at the race for the remote, you know. So, I don't know. I've always loved it, always had a passion for the game. So,
yeah,
I honestly don't really know what got me into it.
Have you always been a running back?
I played quarterback in Pee Wee for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a running quarterback. But, other than that, it's been running back.
So, are you a Detroit Lions fan like your dad, man?
No, I'm a Vikings fan, same division, but... Yeah, it's a good rivalry.
That's good. You got to pick against your dad so you guys can battle in the man cave. Okay, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this interview. The Center for Ethics in Sports collected a sample during out-of-competition doping control on October 16th, 2018. I'm not even going to try to pronounce what they've found in you, but it basically was a substance commonly found in dietary supplements. Tell us what happened. Walk us through this, because I want to point something out. This wasn't like you were roiding up and you were cheating, trying to get all bulked up somewhere and take it to the next level. It was an honest mistake, but tell us about it.
Yeah, so what happened was it's very common in athletes, especially football players. Like, I went over to Supplement King. I've been taking pre-workout for a while, you know, so all I was doing is I was trying to get a little extra kick in the butt before my workouts. So I've been taking pre-workout for a number of years now, mm-hmm. even in high school. So, yeah, I went to the Supplement King. I asked Clerk, hey, what do you recommend? I'm a university athlete. Like, I need some caffeine to kind of get me going.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought me over to this one. Nothing really struck me as weird about it. Mm-hmm. Looks like the same as anything else I've ever taken. Took a supplement, you know, and I don't know. I guess there happened to be a bad substance in there. I really had no idea. The substance called hygienamine. Mm-hmm. what I learned about it through my process was that it's common in like throat lozenges and in green tea or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, it was really unfortunate for me. But I mean, you can only learn from it.
Yeah.
So.
Now we're going to talk about how unfortunate it is, but let's talk about like, it was a minor amount, right? Like, it wasn't like you were all hopped up on it. It was barely traceable from what I understand.
Yeah. So since you find this substance in throat lozenges and green tea and all that, they have it's called an informal threshold on it. It's at 10 nanograms and my test came in at 15 nanograms. So therefore it's a violation.
Okay. So Kyle, does your coaching staff, does your athletic therapist or whoever, like, do you have, like, I guess where I'm going with this, do you guys have a session where they say, hey, you can take this, you can't take this? Where I'm going with this, Kyle, are you negligible in any of this? Like, should you have known better not to take some of this stuff is where I'm going with this.
I should have known. I really should have known. Any athlete would know that we do a CCS course every year, once a year. I mean, it's really a type of thing that you treat as just to get out of the way so you can play. That's at least how I treated it. And they talk briefly about supplements as well as a whole other things. But the one thing I honestly didn't know was that you could go to the supplement store and, like, at the store and buy something that's banned. I thought that was more something you'd do online. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was kind of my mindset behind it.
Yeah. Kyle Borsa joining us here. And Kyle, what does this mean for you in terms of participation? I know you're a track athlete. I know you're also obviously one of the probably the best running back off the top of my head in the conference going in this year, anyways, on paper, right there anyway. So what does this mean for you now? You're suspended for 16 months, so a year and 4 months, but what does that mean for you in terms of, can you be in contact with your teammates or anything like that?
I can be in contact. I can't do anything that would make me a student athlete. So I can't go hang out in the locker room with the guys in between classes. I can't train with my teammates. I can't go in the athlete weight room, but I can, like, talk to them and obviously when I see them and stuff like that. But no, there's no training, no practicing, nothing like that.
So game day, can you be around the team? Can you be on the sidelines? Can you be up in the booth or anything like that?
No, I think I'm going to be in the stands this year.
So, Kyle, how does that make you feel?
Well, not too great.
No.
It'll be a learning curve for sure, but I can only use it to motivate me and make me better, so that's what I plan on doing.
I'm going to ask you this question. How are you dealing with this mentally? Mental health is such a big deal, and we just saw more mental health in the budget. And I'm not saying you have mental health problems, but hey, I tell you what, I've watched this guy. He lives in my neighborhood in Lake Ridge. This guy runs around. If you've never seen Kyle Borsa, he's a physical specimen. And once again, it's not because he's hopped up on anything. He made an innocent mistake. This guy trains harder than anybody I've ever seen. And I know how much football and how much track means to you. So how are you dealing with this mentally, Kyle?
You know, one thing I've learned through my whole situation, is how good of a support system I have, you know? Like, everybody knows my dad for being a national champion with the Rams, and mm-hmm. he's obviously my main support system. But, like, my mom, my brother, my grandparents, my friends, they're constantly supporting me. They're asking me how I'm doing every single day. And I couldn't be more thankful for the people I have in my life to help me.
So you made the mistake. It was a minor mistake. Oh, I want to bring this up too. This is what I get a kick out of. I don't want to mention this. I want you to help me out here. It's supposed to be randomly tested. The governing body randomly tests you. Take this from a guy that's been tested. Check this out. Michael Ball is right now, he is 5'8" and 171 pounds of twisted steel and fading sex appeal, okay? But back in the day, I was 145 pounds soaking wet. I ran a 4.48 40. I got tested 3 times. Ask your dad. I was called Juice for a reason, because they always tested me, okay? How many times has Kyle Borsa been tested?
I was tested 4 times previously to my one that I failed.
So in the last couple of years, you've been tested 4 times?
That was my 5th one.
So yeah, so randomly tested 5 times. You know what it is? The governing body gets a hold of the training or the the stats on their results for like 40s and stuff, and they just look at that and say, okay, we're picking that guy. They don't randomly pick. Save the hogwash. I'm not saying Kyle's wrong with what he did, but give me a break. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. How about we worry about, instead of a guy, oh, he may, and I know it's a great, they can't let you off, Kyle, because then other guys will try to cheat, but it's the same thing as, the whole academic ineligible. They screw up and a whole team loses a season. Unbelievable. So, Kyle, what's this going to do for you in terms of fueling your fire now?
I mean, I'm going to take the year to definitely figure out where I'm at. I'm going to take care of my body. My plan is to come back stronger and faster than ever. There's only one way you can really take it.
Lastly, Kyle, last word goes to you. What would you like to say the last word on this as you have the floor? Maybe you want to say sorry to somebody or you just want to say some last words. Anything you want to say here?
I'd start by saying sorry to the Rams organization. Obviously, with everything we've been through lately, it's not good on our team or our program. And I'd also like to just say to any young and upcoming athletes, like, don't waste your time with supplements, waste money, waste your time as long as you're eating healthy. And you're taking in all the right food, right diet, you're going to be just fine. And let your love and passion for the game motivate you in the gym.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a solid young man. My opinion hasn't changed. I'm sure a lot of people's opinion hasn't changed. And I can't wait to see you on the Rams field in another year. Unfortunately, you lose a year of eligibility. But tell you what, folks, when I talk about the stars of tomorrow today, this guy is one right here. Make sure you go watch him and his teammates because he'll be back better than ever and probably be in a CFL stadium near you if somebody's smart enough down the road. Talk to you later, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Thanks, have me on, Mike.
All right, that's Kyle Aborsa of the University of Regina. Rams suspended 16 months for an unfortunate doping violation, taking a supplement over the counter.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.